In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
He's apparently afraid of Sir Guido.
I think so.
Hello, and welcome to Magical Talking Hat. I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
And this is episode 21. Which should be really exciting, or legal to drink now. I was going to get some beer just for the occasion, but I didn't do it because I'm not feeling well. I'm feeling sick. I've been sick for a few days and still sick. Don't like it. But I'm not willing to not do the podcast, so I'm doing the podcast for you people. I'm just not going to do it well.
And we're recording too.
Yes, we're recording two, so I'm going to be a grumpy pain in the ass for 2 weeks straight.
Wow.
So, take that. Yes.
Well, I'm sorry to hear you're not feeling well.
I am also sorry to hear I'm not feeling well. Why are you flipping me off?
I'm scratching my eye.
With your middle finger. That is the classic, like,
because
secretly flipping you
I
off
wear
move.
Glasses.
I wear glasses.
And this
I don't
is my longest
off.
Finger, and I need to get underneath my lens. I could have
Guys,
taken my glasses off, I suppose.
William was flipping me off.
No, I wasn't flipping him off.
It was impressive.
There, see, I take my glasses off and I rub my eyes there. Are you happy?
And yet he's still flipping me off. I don't know what that's about. Now he's got a knife. Watch out. Yes, I've not been feeling well. Not really sure what's going on. I went to work today, but that was kind of a bad idea. I'll either go to work again tomorrow or go to the doctor tomorrow. We'll see.
What do you think you got?
Brain tumor.
Oh.
I don't know. That's the problem. Like, I've got some serious fatigue. I've got the general muscle ache that, you know, you get when you're, like, sick. I don't know that I have a fever. And my head feels like it weighs 8,000 pounds and is hurting all the time. But it's not like I'm not, like, stuffed up or anything, like, with a normal head cold. I thought it might be allergies, but I took some allergy pills. It didn't seem to make a lot of difference. So I don't really know. It's really kind of annoying. But, yeah, mostly I'm just exhausted and my head is killing me all the time. So I don't know what that's about.
Neither. That doesn't, That doesn't sound like a condition that's easy to diagnose.
Brain tumor.
Okay. Maybe you're just having an adverse reaction to the mind control waves that the U.S. government is showering onto the continent presently.
But why now? I never had an adverse reaction to mind control waves before.
Oh, well, you know, with the whole deficit debate, they turned up the volume a little bit.
Oh, I see.
It's going around, I think. I think.
Is it?
Well, I've heard similar complaints from other people, so.
About mind control waves?
Yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask you, does the Hat have a Twitter account yet?
No.
On the way here, I heard on the radio that that for $45, if you go to the right site, for $45, they can guarantee 1,000 followers in like 20 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you think that works?
I don't know. Oh, well, what they said on the radio was that they do what you could probably do if you had the time, which is sort of mine for people with similar interests, and they offer them incentives like, you know, coupons and stuff. I mean, these people get stuff for you know, following you. Now, of course, you have 1,000 followers and, you know, nobody's really there because...
Giving a damn?
Yeah. So what you're really buying is that number so that, you know, someone who might care, who happens to come upon your account or whatever, will say, oh, well, look, this person has 1,000 fans already.
I want to get in on the other side of this. I want to be offered coupons to follow people.
Well, I don't know how it works. But it came up, of course, because Newt Gingrich was accused of making up Twitter followers or you know, having fake Twitter followers.
Really?
Yeah. You hadn't heard that?
No.
I know we don't usually like to talk about things in the news and stuff when we do our podcast, but I thought that was interesting and somewhat relevant.
Are we at the point where the number of Twitter followers a politician has matters?
I don't know. All I know is that Newt Gingrich brought it up. Like, you know, he's got over 1 million followers, and that's like a lot more, something like 6 times more than all of the other Republican presidential candidates, their Twitter followers combined.
And, oh, well, you know, if you're going to brag about it and it turns out it was fake, yeah, then you got issues. I mean,
well, what I'm saying is that he mentioned it as an indicator of something.
No, and that's what I'm saying. So, regardless of what it is, at a certain, if you brag about it as though it matters, yeah, then people totally need to call you out if it turns out you were bullshitting.
And people, this isn't just one website that does this. I mean, there are a lot of websites that do it. Websites. So if the number of Twitter followers you have is currently not in that place in our culture where it matters, then I doubt those places would be able to do such good business. So yeah, I guess the answer is the number of Twitter followers you have, I guess, matters. But of course, all that
I
means
agree
is that
it matters in some cases, not in a presidential election.
Well, I don't know, but it won't
and
matter.
I'm not even saying that Twitter doesn't matter or that Twitter followers don't matter. Like following a politician on Twitter and what they have to say, I'm sure that can influence a great deal of things. How many followers a particular candidate has, I feel, has no impact on me as the voter. I don't give a damn.
It's not about you as the voter, though. This is all about primary races and people trying to figure out who has the most support. So the reason Gingrich was saying this wasn't to sway a voter. It was to it was actually probably to influence potential contributors. You know, people who would donate, because you want to back the horse that's going to win. And he was using this as an example of why he might be the person to back. Although, I mean, that's not what he said. He didn't say, "Okay, I want all the donors to know this." I mean, that was clearly.
But that was, as Newt Gingrich's primary political strategist, you know that this is what...
Well, the thing is, what you have to understand, and I think a lot of people do by now, is that primary races, or, you know, to get the nomination, that race is completely different than the end game of actually running against
nominated candidate. Nowadays, it's become so starkly different, I find it really hilarious.
Yeah.
Where candidates were literally just run on something to get the nomination and then say the exact opposite through the general
election. That's right. And not just that, but these days, if you watch the news, and I say watch deliberately because it's mostly on television that the news programs do this, all the comparisons between the candidates, either the only thing they look at or one of the main things they look at in comparing them is how much money they've raised.
Yep.
And it kind of surprises me that news programs do this almost as if this is a legitimate way to compare candidates. And then we sit there and criticize the political corruption in other countries. And so we so boldly just talk on the news about, oh, well, this candidate's raised this much money, so they're doing really well, as if that should matter in our country. But it does.
It's a 24-hour news network. At this point in the game, what else are they going to talk about? It's this, or ask Val Kilmer what he thinks of Newt Gingrich.
Well, there is something else for them to talk about.
What?
The sad fact that the more money you raise is tied directly to how successful you're going to be in the election. There's tons of government, you know, there's lots of government corruption and corporate corruption out there to report on. They don't have to talk about how much money these guys are raising. Or they can talk about how much money they're raising in the sense of these are the people that are donating to these guys, and these are the people that are going to tell them how to vote, and we can prove it, because the last time this guy was elected, you know, lots of stuff to expose out there. That's what the media is supposed to be doing.
That sounds like effort. And if there's one thing I've learned, the only thing that I and the 24-hour news channels have in common is we don't like putting forth effort.
Well, actually, the news programs do like putting forth effort, as long as there are dollar signs at the end of it, which means advertisers, which means the advertisers want viewers, and they know that nobody wants to see that kind of news.
Well, and that's true. They'll
turn the channel.
I will put forth effort if you pay me.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact is,
I can definitely be bought.
Big exposés and the like don't pay. I mean, I'm not really so much being critical of the media. I think the media is following the money, and the money is following, you know, the typical American voter. I mean, that's just, a lot of people complain about what big government's doing wrong and what big business is doing wrong, and I agree that those things are terrible. But at the end of the day, they only do what the masses allow them to do. And we right now have the country that we asked for. So nobody to blame but the voter and the consumer.
There you have it, people. William says, fuck you, you did this to yourself. Congratulations. He hates you all.
Well, you know.
A little scary when I'm the nice guy, huh? This is not so good. Nobody's comfortable in this situation, really. Tell them something good, William.
Well, tell them something good. The good news is we do still outnumber them, so we could do something about it.
Go beat up your local politician.
If we really wanted to.
Wait. We had trouble before advocating people go to prison.
You said it, not me.
Only like 7 people listened to it. But anyway, how was your week, William?
Well, you and I both had a very...
Oh, I forgot all about
cool
that.
Cool thing happened
I was gonna,
this week.
Yeah, I was going to be mad if you didn't say anything, and then I forgot.
We visited with Sarah and Steven. Sarah, who has been...
And Johnny.
And Johnny, that's right. Sarah, who's been mentioned on the...
Yes, Sarah, who was told not to listen and who took that to heart and apparently doesn't listen anymore.
Well, also who we talked about in subsequent...
Yeah, but we couldn't remember what we said about her. But anyway, good friends of ours, Sarah and Steven, who moved away and now are moving to other away, happen to be here in town with their friend Johnny, who's become our friend and
now
my Facebook friend.
A very cool guy.
And we all went out for Indian food, and it was really tasty.
Yep, it's awesome. And I was very glad that Johnny came because, you know, we don't know him as well or haven't known him as long, but so I was afraid he might think that you, I don't know. You know how people are. They'll, you go, it's your thing. I don't want to impose.
Yeah,
I'm glad
I don't
he didn't
know.
Say
he's,
that way.
Yeah, he's been very sort of gregarious and out there and stuff, and I like that because I like him.
Yeah, he's a good guy. It was good to see Steven and Sarah, too. I haven't seen Sarah forever. And, unfortunately, where they're moving, I mean, they were in Chicago, which isn't that far away.
No, and we all should have gotten our butts up there.
Yeah, but now where they're at, you know, it's not going to be a place that we're likely going to get to as often, and they're not going to likely get back here as often, so that's kind of sad.
Jerks.
Well, you know, she loves it down there.
Yeah.
In Austin, that's... She loves it.
How do you know I wasn't talking about us?
Oh, that we're jerks?
Yeah, you don't know. Somebody's a jerk.
I guess.
See that hole in my hand?
Is it stigmata?
No, it started off as a wound from a copier.
What? How did you provoke a copier?
It provoked me.
It's not a magical talking copier, is it?
No. It's a copier that's on its way out.
And you punched it or something?
Oh, yeah. No, I had to reach in deep inside for a piece of paper. Did not go well.
And it bit you?
Pretty much.
Hmm.
Anyway, so how was my week?
Well, that's something we both did.
Yeah, I know. Well, okay, did you do anything else?
Yes.
Really?
But maybe I should save that one for the next hour.
Oh.
It's not a big deal. It's just something to talk about.
Oh. Okay, let's save it.
Great, people.
You have to listen in next week. You have to wait a whole week to hear the other thing William did.
And then you'll hear it and you'll go, what? I waited a week for this. And then you'll never listen again.
Well, embellish since then. Please, if like pathetic content stopped people from listening, nobody would listen.
This is a true statement.
I think it has stopped some people from listening, but not our hard hats, damn it.
The hard hats.
We love you, hard hats.
We live for the hard hats. That's awesome.
It feels like some village people video is about to start.
Tell me about the rest of your week then, because that was just a tiny mostly piece that I know about.
Not so much. I did finally pick up my wife at the airport.
Yes, so that was an ordeal.
She's here now. She's leaving again, like in 3 days. Mm-hmm. This time for a work thing. But so she'll be gone, which is why we're doing two episodes now, because I'm going to be picking her up during the time when we would normally record next week.
Yep.
So we have to do it now. But, no, I had an awesome thing last night for date night. Wednesday night's date night for us, and I was not feeling great, but I decided to risk it and go out for date night. And we went to The Mill, which is a local bar that's been around forever that is known for its live entertainment. And we saw Maggie Drennan, who, for any of you local who were, like, virtually nobody, but if you've been in this area for a while, Maggie Drennan, and actually more of you would know too, Maggie Drennan does Celtic music, and a long time ago she was in a group called Kylie's Muse, I think.
I know.
And then later, sort of more famously, was it part of a Celtic rock band called 6 Mile Bridge that more people know of. And then she did a solo thing just for, well, not a solo thing, but she did the Maggie Drennan band. But that stopped pretty quick, and she sort of disappeared for a few years, and now she's back doing a solo gig. She's just got a guy doing guitar accompaniment, but doing, as she says, whatever the hell she wants. And it was really good stuff. If you like Celtic music, it's really good stuff. And that was awesome. There was a small but diehard group of fans last night, and it was pretty cool.
Like hard hats, but... For exactly, Celtic music.
For Maggie specifically.
Whatever you call that.
Drennanites. Drennanauts. But I would recommend, if you are around this area, prepare for next February. Next February she's coming back to The Mill, so you can see her live again. If you're not around here, but you like Celtic music stuff, I would recommend checking out Maggie Drennan, or 6 Mile Bridge, or Kylie's Muse. I'll try and remember to put this stuff in the show notes. It's good stuff. She's got a heck of a voice. And not too bad fiddle hand either. So,
huh.
So that was cool.
Very good.
I'm trying to think if I really did anything else. Not really. I'm getting ready for this new game I'm going to run. This Traveler game. I made a practice Traveler character. That was kind of fun. She ended up without a lot of money, though. I don't know what that was about.
Just the way it goes sometimes,
huh? She
was
very poor by the time I finished character creation. But...
Well, that's just one of the things that can happen, right?
Yeah. A lot... Character creation in Traveler involves a lot of random chance and stuff like that. But... It was still surprising to me.
You gonna make it? We gotta do two of these.
I know. I'm gonna be real pissy in the second one. Okay. Should we go on to the hat now?
Boy, usually you like to visit for quite a while before we go to the hat.
Yeah, I'm just hoping to kill some time and then mix these up good. There might be a bunch of new ones in here. So
really?
It is possible.
the hat's been busy. How do you know when the hat's busy? I mean, it's sitting there.
The hat night. I don't know when the hat's busy specifically. I know when the hat has been busy.
Oh.
A little puddle.
A little puddle. Ah, the hat.
The hat. Magical talking hat that doesn't talk.
This one isn't signed.
It's an anonymous.
It just says, anyone for tennis?
No. No one.
No, I'm not much of a tennis player.
No one for tennis. I played tennis for a little bit. I don't remember. I think it's one of these things I picked up from my dad. My dad played tennis for a little while. And so I sort of got into it. And I would play a lot, just bang the tennis ball against the garage door. But then, yeah, I went out and actually played with him on some courts sometimes.
Huh.
Not a lot, though, and I hit him square between the shoulder blades when I was serving and we were playing doubles on the same team one too many times. He didn't like that.
This sounds like, I think Daffy Duck says this in a particular cartoon, or maybe a few cartoons, and I'm not remembering which.
Oh, ones. This reminds me. Remember how we both don't, well, no, you especially hate the song Horse with No Name?
Yeah, I don't like that song.
Well, a listener was talking to me and told me that it's apparently this whole big metaphor for heroin, actually.
Well, it's,
but then,
it's not even good for that.
But then they looked it up, and apparently it's like a Puff the Magic Dragon thing where it's not actually about that, but everybody thinks it is.
Because so. Everyone thinks Puff the Magic Dragon is about marijuana.
Pot, yeah. Which, you know, the people who wrote Peter, Paul, and Mary, you know, say it's not about the drugs. And I don't think they would lie to me. But I'm like, what the hell kind of a name is Jackie Paper?
I don't know.
Ezzy, get down.
Well, and it does sound like, I don't know. It does sound like, it's not like people weren't making up cute little names for drugs back then.
Yeah, like it totally, like, I believe them that it wasn't, or I believe them when they say that wasn't the idea, or that they didn't do that on purpose. I'm not sure I believe they didn't accidentally do it. But,
yeah. Maybe they weren't all there when they
possibly.
And now they're just in denial. Sincerely in denial.
It's always done well for me. You got a dead cat next to you there.
Well, you know, that is how lots of Freudian things, like some, you know, there's some movie or some piece of art, and, you know, people say, oh, well, Freud would find this very interesting. And then you have to wonder, okay, does this say more about the person who said that? Or can we really say something about the person who made this piece of art having Freudian issues, Oedipus complex, and things of that nature? But, you know, there it is. So, no tennis for you.
No. How about you?
Nah, I don't. Not much of a tennis player.
So no, fuck you. None
Maybe
of
some badminton. I might be up for that.
Oh, God.
I don't know. It's, I don't,
badminton is the weirdest damn sport.
I don't know why.
How did somebody
I've always
be like,
kind of enjoyed it.
You know, we need something that's like tennis, but raise up the net and make the thing have, like, sort of wings.
Like, I don't know.
I think badminton is where J.K. Rowling got the inspiration for Quidditch.
Maybe.
But
the thing about badminton is there's a lot of nuance. I mean, there is in tennis, too,
there
as far
is
as spin
not.
And whatever. But, oh, yeah, there is.
You're making stuff up.
You know, you can take when it's, like, slammed and going fast at you, you can turn it back around really slow and go right over the net.
I mean, oh, the subtleties of badminton. Yes, you watch out for my shuttlecock. What the hell kind of a name is the shuttlecock, anyway?
I don't know.
Okay. Okay.
Who do we have now?
Lois Lane.
Lois, wow.
Yes.
How about that?
And it's not specifically about art this time,
hmm.
Although it's kind of about art.
Okay, well.
It's about music, so
oh,
there
music.
We go. Hmm. Lois Lane says, what are some of your favorite instrumental movie or TV soundtracks and or composers?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, that covers a lot of different things. Well, I like John Williams, of course. I mean, that's probably too obvious.
And yes, it is.
And it's also probably obvious, too obvious, that I like Danny Elfman. But... Sure. Beyond that, there are some game soundtracks I like, and now I'm having a hard time remembering. I mean, I always like the Myst ones. Again, kind of obvious.
I liked some of the stuff out of Kingdom Hearts. I thought they did some neat stuff with that.
But yeah, sometimes the games have some pretty good soundtracks.
I want to find it again, like in digital format, because I only ever owned it on cassette. But I was in love with the soundtrack to Rain Man.
Hmm.
And I mean, it has a few non-instrumental songs in it, but the overall instrumental themes are really good. I just recently got, like the day after I saw it, I think, soundtrack to Tron Legacy.
And that's good.
That's awesome.
Huh.
It's really good. It's all done by Daft Punk, but done with like full orchestration and everything. It's really great, great, great stuff. And I always liked, and it varied from season to season because they kept rewriting it, but most of the background music and thematic music and kind of stuff in Babylon 5 was really good.
Hmm. Well, I didn't mean to have boring answers, but I'm racking my brain to think
how
of
you roll.
Something that would be a little bit more interesting, surprising, or anything else, but I got nothing.
A lot of Elfman soundtracks are good. They do start to get... They do start to run together a bit.
Yes, that's true.
Have you seen the video about Tim Burton making... He's going to make a new movie. And they're all there, and the whole team is there, and they're like, are we going to take an original property? He's like, no, we're going to take an existing property and make it darker. Like, oh, God. Like, hey, do we have any more of that white pancake makeup from the last movie we did? And the executive pulls up this bucket. She's like, we got tons of it. It's like, okay, you call my wife and Johnny Depp. And he's like, and he pulls out his cell phone and says, those are the only people I can call. And it's just got two big buttons that say Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter. He's like, oh, to do the music, Danny Elfman, yes. Okay, put something together for this. He's like, how about... He's like, yes, perfect. I like a lot of Tim Burton movies, but that video had to be made. And I'll try also to remember to put that in the show notes. I'll forget, but I'll try and remember. Mark, remind me.
Yeah, he probably will. Well, thanks for that question, Lois.
Thank you, Lois.
Forgive me for my uninspired answer.
John Williams.
I'm sorry.
Such
a
tool.
I like it.
How about a little Hans Zimmer? Oh.
And there's a lot of other things I don't like.
Randy Edelman did the soundtrack to the film Come See the Paradise. Also a very good soundtrack. I'm trying to think of the soundtracks I actually own.
Blue Claw.
Oh, Azure Talon. What have you done to us today?
He wants to know what kind of hats do hats wear.
I don't believe they do.
No, I've never seen a hat with a hat.
It'd be a case of hatception.
We're going three deep on this one.
Yeah.
A hat on a hat,
hat on
a hat.
Hat. On a hat.
I mean, there's that Dr. Seuss story with someone wearing a lot of hats or whatever, but...
What about Bartholomew Covens?
Something like that. But that's not the
Eddie,
hat so
do
much
do you have something
hats.
To say? No, you're just going to bathe yourself in my lap.
She's like biting her.
Yeah, they do that with their claws. Like they got crap to get. It's like biting hangnails, I think, kind of thing.
Oh.
I don't know, but I've seen lots of cats do it. All of my cats need their claws trimmed really badly. I think that's going to be our thing this weekend.
Well, I'm pretty sure, just as a general rule, we can assume that hats don't wear hats, shoes don't wear shoes, gloves don't wear gloves. Coats don't wear coats. Socks don't wear
I've
socks.
I've seen coats wear coats.
Well, maybe. Maybe you're right on that one. Maybe I have to go back on that.
Oh, my God.
What just happened?
I think she's pierced my scrotum, among other things.
Do we need to suspend the broadcast so you can...
No, I'll just sit here quietly and bleed.
Have that taken care of?
I add it to my list of things wrong with me.
Man, this is really not the night to be doing two of these. But I don't know what
else we're
going to do.
I saw the trailer today for the movie Battleship.
The movie Battleship?
Oh, yes.
Hmm.
A lot of Hasbro games have been being marketed recently. Battleship being one of them.
Hmm.
Liam Neeson's in it.
Liam Neeson's in it.
Yes.
Okay. So he reads this script, and he actually sees at some point he's going to have to say, "You sank my battleship."
Which
and
I
he
assume,
agreed to do it?
Which I assume he's going to have to. It wasn't in the trailer, but I'm assuming.
Someone's got to say it, or else why call it Battleship?
Well, but here's the thing. The way they've made it interesting, he said, with huge air quotes, it has aliens. It involves naval exercises, and they discovered an alien artifact, and aliens start attacking them.
Right.
So that's what makes it special. Dude.
How will they do it, do you think? Will it be a big dramatic moment? Like he'll be yelling into...
No.
It'll just kind of overtake
him?
No,
you're supposed to laugh. No, it'll be a comedic moment.
It will?
It will
be. But it sounds like they want to make it kind of dramatic and serious. No?
Well, I don't think they... I don't even think they can pull it off. But no, dude, you don't even know. Okay, here are two facts I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
You have to decide for yourself if they are related. There is a movie coming out called Real Steel.
Yeah, it's got
Hugh Jackman
in it, and the robots are fighting and everything.
The robots are fighting each other. It involves giant robots boxing.
Yeah.
That is fact number one.
Okay.
Fact number two, about 3 years ago, maybe 2 years ago, somebody bought the movie rights to Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Well, right. I mean, of course, when I saw the first thing I said when I saw the preview was Rock'em Sock'em Robots. But, I don't know, it looked pretty cool. I've got a weakness for robots that aren't Transformers in a Michael Bay movie, but...
I'm just saying, if that can be that, then you shouldn't be surprised that there's a Battleship movie.
Yes.
And if Hugh Jackman can be in the Rock'em Sock'em Robots movie...
Yeah, you got...
Liam Neeson can be in the Battleship movie.
You've got a lot more to work with the Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
I don't know.
Yeah, you do, because look, you have a ring. There are two robots. One's blue, one's red. Why are they fighting each other? You know, what is their history? What kind of banter was there before the bout? You know, there's lots of stuff. Battleship? I mean, that's just... I mean, you know, Battleship's kind of been done already in a lot of war movies.
No, but we have a lot of this because, like, our hero was really successful and now he's kind of becoming a flop. And he's in love with Liam Neeson's daughter, of course. And Liam Neeson's his commanding officer. And so he's going to be a washout. And then the thing they say, like, enjoy these naval maneuvers, sailor, because they're going to probably be your last. But then he discovers the alien thing.
And no, wait. So, if the battleship aspect was, naval maneuvers, and he's dating his daughter, and he proves himself some clever way in beating the older guy in the... What do you need aliens for? I mean, that actually sounds like it could be kind of interesting, depending on how you cast it and how you tell the story.
You're saying Battleship works as a movie?
No. Well, if what you're saying is, well, let's imagine
that there's people on those little ships.
No. What you're doing is you're saying, let's imagine the game of Battleship being played by a father against the guy who wants to date his daughter that he doesn't like, right? And then, you know, it's kind of a matter of personal pride. And then you say, so let's take that game and let's make it like a naval exercise. Well, that might be interesting.
Oh, so I see.
And it might be humorous even.
So the son was going to be in charge of one group side.
Yeah.
And Liam Neeson was going to be in charge of the other. And it's going to be a giant game of battle.
Exactly. That would be kind of funny even.
Oh,
you know,
my
it
God.
Can be interesting, and, you know, I mean, the romance angle doesn't thrill me, but, you know, maybe that'd be interesting. What do you need the aliens for?
Could they cheat, then? Because, like, you have to call them and say, did we hit you? And be like, no, that's not where we are.
Well, you could do whatever you want. You can have fun with it however you want. But my question is, to me, there's enough story there if you're really clever and you cast it well. So what do you need the aliens for?
The same reason you need the little kid in Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
No. No, because the little kid is in Rock'em Sock'em Robots playing the game. There are no aliens in Battleship.
There is the way I play. No, that's it. No. There's the story of aliens coming down and playing Battleship with a human.
No, that doesn't work. See, the cool thing about you know, this guy versus this guy in naval exercises is because when you're a kid playing Battleship, part of the fun is kind of trying to imagine you're not just playing it on the tabletop. You know what I mean? It's like you're
out. Yeah, that, I never had that experience.
Oh, come on.
I also never particularly liked Battleship. So.
Oh, well, I thought Battleship was okay.
So basically, the summary here is no, Azure Talent hats don't wear other hats.
Right. We kind of got away from that. I'll tell you.
That's okay, though, because we had a conversation, and that was a sad question.
I do want to mention a film that I'm really excited about is Guillermo del Toro is going to redo the whole Haunted Mansion, Disney's Haunted Mansion thing. Had you heard about that?
Yeah.
Maybe we talked about that
already. I'm not so excited about
that. Oh, man.
I could have sworn you were going to say the new Adam Sandler movie, Jack and Jill. I really thought that's what you were going to say.
No, because I actually... I'm not a huge fan of Disney, really, in any way.
Uh-huh.
But when I visited Disney World when I was in high school, and it was okay, I really liked that ride. And when I heard that someone might make a movie based on it, especially after the whole Pirates of the Caribbean thing, because when Pirates of the Caribbean was going to come out, I was very skeptical. I thought, what? This is ridiculous. But it worked, and then I realized how it could work. And I thought, wow, if they could do the same thing for The Haunted Mansion, that would be awesome. I'd really enjoy that movie. But then they really screwed it up.
So. Have you ever read Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom by Cory Doctorow?
No.
You know who Cory Doctorow is? The guy who started Boing Boing?
No.
Oh, he's a major presence on the internet. I'll put it that way.
Okay. But
he's a blogger. He started Boing Boing, that kind of stuff. Long, long ago, his first book was called Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom, and he actually gave it away for free online. His first novel. And it's a future speculative fiction thing. In a society where basically we've hit free energy, so you no longer need... We're no longer in an economy of scarcity.
Okay.
All your needs can be met. And so currency is essentially a currency of prestige. And it's actually, I believe, called Muffy, is what they call it. But you get it basically by impressing people. It's a reputation-based economy. And you can get power and influence and stuff via this money. And the context for the story is two separate groups attempting to redo slash take over the running of the Haunted Mansion at Disneyland.
Huh. Why? I mean...
It's hard to explain. It's a weird book. It's a good book, but it's weird. But I would recommend it. Remember when we worked at that one place and I wasn't doing a lot near the end? I think it was while you were still there. Okay. I read this book while I was there.
Oh, okay.
Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom by Cory Doctorow.
Working in that one place.
That one place.
There's only one place we work together.
They might be listening.
The cats don't like it when you make that noise.
Yeah, the cats don't like a lot of it. Okay, so, Azure Talon, no.
No. Hats don't wear hats.
No. At least good hats don't wear hats. Okay, we have a question from Sam. Excuse me. Bless you. I have a Pandora station trained to play 80s music, but it occasionally throws Coldplay into the mix. Should I feel judged? From Sam.
I really don't know.
I think you should feel judged in the sense that you clearly did not train your Pandora station correctly.
What? I don't even know what a Pandora station is.
You don't know
is.
What Pandora is?
Well, I know the myth.
No, Pandora.com.
No.
You don't know about this? No. Oh, God, you would love this.
Would I?
So, are you familiar with the Musical Genome Project?
No.
Same thing. Bunch of people got together and they decided that the method by which people determine what songs people might like is flawed. Like, to say that if you like this artist, you'll like other artists in that genre. Or to say if you like the song by this artist, you'll like other songs by that artist is flawed. And that, in fact, there are much more discrete, specific musical aspects that people like. And so you could like this song that's in a completely different genre than the one, than this other one you like. But because it has these very sort of specific aspects of certain types of harmonies or certain types of rhythms or certain instrument classes and stuff, that you might enjoy that. And you could discover songs that you would have never looked for. And as a test for this, and later as a revenue stream, they created this website, Pandora.com, and you go there, and you tell it an artist or a song that you like, and based on that, it creates a radio station for you of what other stuff it thinks you would like. And you can tell it, yes, I like this, or no, I don't like this. And based on that, it will fine-tune to what you think it thinks you would like. And so what Sam here has done, apparently, is to train one specifically to play 80s music.
Yes, but that sounds like that defeats the purpose. Because, I mean, 80s music is a fairly broad, almost a genre unto itself.
Yes.
And the whole point is that you're busting out of the whole genre thing and realizing that what you like about a particular song doesn't really have anything to do with what decade
right.
it was in, for example.
Sam, you're not thinking about this correctly. You should look at Coldplay as having that je ne sais quoi that 80s music had for you. You should embrace Coldplay. You should not feel judged. You should feel freed of your decadal constraints. What would be the word?
Chauvinism.
No. God damn it.
Prejudice.
No, decade. How do you do decade as an adjective?
Oh.
Decadenish. Decadenish constraints. Decadified.
Don't you understand? Pandora is speaking to you. Pandora is saying, don't train me to play 80s music. Train me to play your music. And it looks to me like the music you like includes Coldplay.
Oh! But you should feel that we're judging you for liking Coldplay.
We are?
I am. Oh. Which is funny because I have a couple of Coldplay albums, but I still like judging for
I don't really have anything against... I'm not a fan or anything, but they're all right.
Coldplay killed my parents.
80s music is all right. I don't know. I don't know what Pandora would do if I was telling it what kind of music I like, because it would probably get very confused.
You should try it out.
Hmm. I think the young man who lives in my house should try it out.
I try it sometimes when there's a song that I like from somebody I normally don't like at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have, like I don't like this artist, but they have this one song that I really like. I stick it in Pandora. I'm like, what is close to this?
Hmm.
It's very neat. I like it. So good question, Sam.
You might need to put a link or something to it in the whatchamacallit.
I'm gonna lose track here. I gotta put in stuff about Maggie Drennan. I gotta put in
Mark will remind you.
The Tim Burton video.
Mark's awesome. He
and
listens.
I gotta put in a link to Pandora.
Pandora, yeah. Maybe I'll give it a try. I don't know. I don't really have time for all this.
You don't do anything.
Online shenanigans.
Every week I say, what'd you do? And you, nothing.
I just don't talk about all the things I do. I've explained this. Some of the things I do with my family, for example, maybe they don't want me talking about that. And the things I do for my work, nobody cares. Nobody cares that I'm rewriting my novel. Nobody cares that I'm working on, you know, the stuff I'm working on. Nobody cares.
Do you care, people?
They don't care.
Tell us. Go to the blog, magicaltalkinghat.com. Tell us if you care or if you don't care. Write in, write to the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Give some feedback about your caring or your lack of caring. Tell us, do you care? We want to know. I do.
For as little as $1.99 a month.
You can stop this podcast from happening.
Do you want a better job? Of course you do. Yes.
We all do. Crazy Go Nuts University. The future is you. Probably.
Our motto, that's just nutty.
You can major in Total Spaceship Guy, giving me a dollar.
Are you ripping off of Homestar Runner again?
Yes, that's what I do.
Jeez.
Dude, I had a link to Dennis in the last... Or maybe that's the last
episode. I think it's my... Did you draw this?
Did I... Oh, yeah, get it to draw the thing.
Okay, Hat. Don't give me a hard time. Beth!
Beth?
Yes.
Oh, Beth. I'm not sure Beth listens anymore, but we'll find out. Beth, what does Beth have to say?
Why is it that Americans seem to think themselves quite similar to the English, yet simultaneously think themselves quite different from Canadians? Well, of course, every time we get a question like this, the first thing we have to consider is whether or not the claim they're making is even true.
I think it is true, and I think I can explain, and I mean, I really think I can illustrate the truth of it and explain it, the answer to the question, okay, sort of at the same time.
Good, go.
Americans as a whole, and there are a lot of us, and we are very diverse, have varying ranges in terms of how much we associate ourselves with the English. Some people consider us very close. Some people, myself, I'm somewhat of an Anglophile, I will admit. And it varies. But in general, I think you could say a rough consensus within the U.S. is to acknowledge that we in this country are all human beings, and that the people in England and the United Kingdom are also human beings. In general, I don't think most Americans, myself included, believe that Canadians are truly human. I think most of us find the Canadians, and as far as I have learned from my research, the Canadians were an odd sort of gene-splicing experiment done in the 60s with part human, don't get me wrong, some human in there, but there was also some polar bear in there, some moose, some turkey, and a whole lot of maple syrup.
Yeah, you gotta have that.
Yes. To create this sort of hybrid creature, that while it could be argued to resemble us in America and as human beings, is not human, strictly speaking.
But very entertaining.
Homo Canadius.
Yeah, we've got a lot of them in our popular entertainment. I mean, we like.
Yes, comedians. But we also have Bryan Adams and William Shatner, so
yeah.
It does balance out.
Of course, I find myself, I feel I relate more to Canadians than to the English, actually. I feel like I'm in the opposite.
I suspect you relate more to Canadians than to Americans.
I don't know about that, but yeah, you know, if on the whole, Americans feel themselves more similar to the English than the Canadians, aside from the astute observations you just made about Canadians
not being human,
not being entirely human.
Yes. The big thing, and I mean, this is basic biology. If the two cannot create an offspring that is capable of breeding, mm-hmm. they are separate species. Mm-hmm. An American and a Canadian cannot have a child that will not be sterile, that will not be sort of a mule child.
Mule child, yes. Right.
Therefore, they are separate species.
And thus, the popular euphemism in the United States, you know, a mule child. For yep. someone who is the child of a Canadian.
And an American, yes. Yeah. A mule child, yes.
Mule child. But
almost always female. I don't know the genetics on that, too.
Really? I didn't know
female, that. But not able to conceive. Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting. Didn't know that.
Yeah. You're gonna mule child, never meant to be. Mule child, take a look at me.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know those are the original lyrics, and then they thought that was a little too insensitive, so they changed it.
I really thought this episode would make things better child. For the people who specifically asked me never to sing again. I really didn't think I was going to do it, but there it is.
But they thought Mule Child was too cruel, and so really Love Child was. Seemed, but we all know
somehow
what they,
less.
But yeah. we all know what they really meant.
Yes, exactly.
The
Mule Child,
the children of those unfortunate
born
children
in a wolf barn.
Those unfortunate children of American and Canadian unions.
Yes,
scandalous, really.
Yes.
But I think also, you know. The English, there's still, I think, a sense, or at least Americans' perception of the English, is that there's a sense of being part of an empire, you know, being
that the English perceive themselves as part
yes,
of an empire.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think Americans can relate to that being, you know, citizens of what is often referred to as the most powerful country on earth. Whereas Canadians, well, I mean, there's no sense of there ever being any kind of imperial anything going
which
on.
Which is hilarious
there.
Because Canadians are still technically subjects of the British Crown.
Yes. So, you know, I think that's probably what it comes down to is it's kind of like in school, you know, you get cliques and the athletes all hang out together. Well, the Americans feel like they're the star quarterback and the English are like a former star quarterback or something, you know. So we're gonna hang out with them, but the Canadians are in the band, you know. So you don't hang out with the Canadians.
Canadians are nerds.
Exactly. I mean, that's pretty much the way it is? I think. I mean, a person can argue that. Well, a lot of people in the United States have ties genealogically to the English, which is true. But I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think it's just. You know, we look at the English and their history as a former, I mean, you know, I shouldn't say former, but more or less former imperialist power, and we say, okay, yeah, that's where we are. We are the heirs to their empire, and the Canadians are like the sibling that you're embarrassed to introduce to your, you know, to your girlfriend.
Canada, America's hat.
Right.
I love hating on Canadians.
But that all of that said, I feel like I relate personally more to Canadian, and that's why we used to joke when we were first making this that I would be the Iowan Canadian in the show.
Yes, he'd be the Canadian. It was his joke.
We never really explained what I meant by that, but
yeah.
It was pretty much, you know, because Canadians are stereotypically polite and whatever. But actually,
they're so whatever.
I find that a lot of the stereotypes that apply to Canadians apply to some people in the Midwest and the northwestern states in general. So, I don't know.
Genetics don't lie, my friend. If the offspring cannot procreate, they are separate species.
And we all know what happens when an American and a Canadian gets together. You know, they used to have blood tests. You'd have to take a blood test before you know, to help prevent this kind of thing. And
you can't always tell just by looking.
No.
That hot guy you're out with tonight, or that cool chick you just made a date with, they might be Canadian.
Now, I know what you're thinking.
Get tested.
I know what you're thinking. How could they be Canadian and hot or cool?
Yeah. That
seems like an impossibility, but it's, you know, it happens.
You can't ever be sure.
You don't want to wait until the ultrasound and, you know, or they test the amniotic fluid or something and they say, you know, I don't know how to tell you this, but your child is a mule child. And, man, it just breaks your heart.
Didn't any of you people see that after school special growing up?
They might have been watching
Mule Child, the Greg Bevan story.
Yeah, they might have been watching Hogan's Heroes instead.
Yeah,
I know I was. Right. And the Beverly Hillbillies.
Oh, God, I hated that show.
Beth, we have to thank you for bringing up this really important topic, this really sensitive topic, for this very special edition of the Magical Talking Hat.
Yes. I think the episode title may be Mule Child, Never Meant to Be. I'm not sure. But we're about 55 minutes and we have to do another one of these. So
okay.
I think it's about time to call it. If you would like us to talk about your topic or your question on the hat, and I can't really understand the fascination with that, but if you would like to, feel encouraged to write in with a topic or a question, write the hat. The hat can be reached at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. And I tell you truly, we do randomly draw these out. So at any given time, the odds of yours is as good as any. Also, still got some good conversation and some interesting comments from people, some follow-up things on the blog. So go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Check things out there. Make your own comments. Tell us how much you hate us. Whatever works for you.
And thanks to Beth, Sam, Azure Talon, Lois Lane, and Anonymous for your contributions.
And if that's not enough hat stuff, go to the Facebook.
We're on
the Facebooks now. look for the Magical Talking Hat there. And like us, please. We like when people like us. Just do that. Yeah, go do that.
Just like us.
Okay.
Leave a comment.
And we'll see you in a week, although I have a feeling I may still be sick then. Okay, anyway, in the meantime, disregard the last 57 minutes and change, please.
Good night, everybody.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.